Blog Talk Radio.
In Blog Talk Radio Land. It's What's Got You Hot, coming at you from Houston, Texas, where it is early Sunday in the a.m., Sunday morning, about 12:30, year of our Lord, January 18th, 2015. Hope everybody had a good week. Absolutely beautiful here in Houston, high in the 60s and low in the 40s. I was out trying to water. It's been kind of dry here and kind of get some leaves off the walkways, but absolutely lovely weather here. We're very blessed to see it after many, many days of cold and cloudiness. Okay, on this program, at varying times, we like to discuss such things as the U.S. Constitution, the Federal Reserve, environmental concerns, weather, and Trojan horse issues. So we will go ahead and get into it, trying to get some of the latest news. These first two articles will concentrate on what's going on with Russia and how the European Union has been placing sanctions on Russia and some of the consequences. The first article I'll read is entitled, Putin Prepares Bitter and Hysterical Missile Surprise to American Partners. In case this sounds a little funny, it is from the English version of Pravda.ru. It's like a translation of Pravda. And this appeared on January 16th. It states, Russia's new sea-based cruise missiles reduce the military power of the United States on a vast geopolitical region from Warsaw to Kabul and from Rome to Baghdad. U.S. President Barack Obama, speaking at the 69th session of the U.N. General Assembly, stated that Russia's actions pose the largest threat to the world. According to Obama, Russia is more dangerous to the world than international terrorism and Islamic fundamentalism. Obama's attacks on the Russian Federation were hysterical and, frankly, inadequate. What made the president of the strongest country in the world say such an absurd thing? Information about new Russian sea-launched cruise missiles could be a reason. Putin announced the deployment of such missiles and said that the missiles would bring the U.S. military power to nothing and minimize Washington's superiority on a vast geopolitical region. Here's how the story is developing. On September 10, 2014, Russian news agencies reported that President Putin personally chaired the Military Industrial Commission, which until then had been under the jurisdiction of the government, in order to prepare a new version of the military doctrine of Russia by December 2014. President Putin proposed to discuss in detail what arms systems should be developed thoroughly to successfully respond to new threats. Putin particularly pointed out the need to develop precision-guided weapons. He stressed that in the coming years, it would be necessary to ensure breakthrough development of all components of such weapons. In addition, Putin said that Russia would need to create unified models of weapons and technology, as well as general-purpose arms. He emphasized that the Navy of Russia was in need to develop new ship projects that would be universal in terms of armament, control, and communication systems. Russia, Putin said, is forced to respond to new threats to her safety. The creation of the missile defense system has been in full swing. There is no success in negotiations at this point. Moreover, appropriate systems are being built in Europe and Alaska, which is very close to our borders, he said. Putin also said that the West was developing the so-called theory of global preemptive strike. There are other things that really concern us, said Putin, and mysteriously hinted on unpleasant surprises for our Western partners. The main thing is to avoid hysterics afterwards, he concluded bitterly. Few people pay due attention to the strange remarks about hysterics. The majority of assorted political analysts, commentators, and writers who usually explain anything in the world took Putin's remarks as a mere figure of speech that was used to demonstrate Putin's determination in defending Russia's national interests. Only a few experts interpreted his words about the surprise and hysterics seriously. While those few were wondering what surprises Vladimir was preparing for Uncle Sam, the situation began to clarify itself. On September 23rd, Putin arrived in Novorossiysk for the meeting of the development of ports. During the meeting, Admiral Vitko informed Putin about the construction of the Black Sea Fleet base. In particular, the admiral said, the submarines that will be used here have long-range cruise missiles. The subs will be stealthier when leaving base in comparison with Sevastopol. When the president asked the admiral about the range of the missiles, the commander of the Black Sea Fleet said, more than 1,500 kilometers. The submarine pier zone accommodates 8 submarines, but for the time being, it is planned to have 7. At the end of 2016, everything will be finished. And now the commander of the Black Sea Fleet of the Russian Federation informed the president that in the future, The submarines would be armed with cruise missiles that would be able to strike targets at distances of more than 1,500 kilometers. If it is true, the admiral would not be lying. It actually means the destruction of the U.S. military strategy and a qualitative change in the balance of power in Russia's favor. From now on, any vessel of the Russian Navy, not only submarines but also surface ships, become carriers of strategic weapons. Why strategic? Because equipping such miracle missiles with nuclear warheads is only a question of time and political will of the Kremlin. As for surface ships, there must be a separate explanation given to it. If these new long-range missiles are not larger than the Caliber missile system, then they, of course, can be mounted on any vessel equipped with this complex. However, the fact that the Caliber complex, if desired, is easy to install on all ships of the Russian Navy, from missile boats to cruisers. The question is only about the number of missiles that depends on the tonnage of the ship. Here is another surprise. On September 29, 2014, the world media reported about the Caspian summit in which the heads of five Caspian states participated: Russia, Iran, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, and Azerbaijan. The participants of the summit coordinated a political statement in which, for the first time, they put down the unanimous agreement on the future of the Caspian Sea. Vladimir Putin commented as follows: "The main thing is that we have agreed upon the political statement, which for the first time established basic principles of the five-sided cooperation of the Caspian Sea. The agreements reached meet long-term interests of all parties. The INF Treaty, signed by Moscow and Washington in 1987, still prohibits Russia from deploying land-based missiles with a range of over 500 kilometers. However, the treaty does not expand to sea-based missiles. This means that 9 Buyans, if armed with new super weapons, would be able to destroy up to 72 targets at a distance of over 1,500 kilometers with one salvo. Given the size of the Caspian area, which now becomes the launch pad for the Buyans, it is easy to understand that they will keep a huge region of Eurasia at gunpoint. With missile submarines added, it just so happens that Russian weapons will embrace colossal space. Warsaw and Rome, Baghdad and Kabul, base points of the U.S. 6th Mediterranean Fleet and its naval strike group. Israel and the lion's share of the southern coast of the Mediterranean Sea will be in sights of the new Russian missiles. To crown it all, the U.S. cannot deploy any forces either on the Black Sea or on the Caspian Sea to counter the new and unexpected Russian threat. As for the Black Sea, there is the Montreux Convention from 1936 that stops the United States. In the Caspian region, the leaders of the Caspian states announced that they would not tolerate foreign military presence in the Caspian region. Well, it looks like Putin has prepared a very good surprise for our American partners. The State Department and the Pentagon definitely have something to think over. Have mercy, folks. That's a report from Pravda. It's like Russia is amping up some of its missiles and some of the means they use to transport and deliver those missiles. Okay, so that seems to be ongoing. And still on that front, another article is entitled "Obama and Cameron's Biggest Fear: 7 EU Nations Support Lifting Sanctions on Russia." This was reported in 21stCenturyWire.com on January 17th. States Washington and London hope that last week's violent attacks in Paris might pull European Union sanction rebels back into Washington's anti-Russia political cult, but it looks like the effect was only short-term. What was the reason for sanctions against Russia in the first place? According to President Obama and Britain's David Cameron, it's because of Russia's continued aggression in the Ukraine. The only problem with that is that Russia never invaded the Ukraine, nor did it invade Crimea. The anti-Russian coalition in Europe is starting to tear at the seams. This week, Russia's foreign minister hit back hard against Washington's political cartel. "There are no prospects for isolating Russia in this or that way," Sergey Lavrov said during his meeting with Latvia's Edgars Rinkevics in Moscow. He added, "We have partners," meaning Russia is not alone on the world stage. With Latvia to assume the rotating EU presidency, Russia is expecting an opportunity for a genuine dialogue to resume between Moscow and Brussels. Egged on by Washington and Europe's anti-Russian conclave last year, Latvia blacklisted a number of celebrity Russians, including artists, singers, and cultural activists. It signaled a return to the dark ages of Cold War power politics. Only this time, it's Europe's doing the banning and censorship. The other trend will be difficult for Washington-London Axis powers to overcome: economics. Washington-led based sanctions against Russia ended up killing a large chunk of the EU economy, as Russia reciprocated in kind to EU sanctions by banning many EU imports into Russia. It turned out to be an own goal by Brussels, hurting Germany, Poland, and Spain particularly badly, as well as other countries. The EU are running out of moves. According to the TASS news agency in Brussels, 7 EU countries support the lifting of Western sanctions on Russia. A diplomatic source in Brussels told TASS on Thursday. The sanctions lifting has been supported by Austria, Hungary, Italy, Cyprus, Slovakia, France, and the Czech Republic. A European diplomatic source close to the EU Council told TASS previously that foreign ministers of 28 EU member countries would not make any decisions on sanctions against Russia at their first meeting this year in Brussels on January 19th. So, folks, watch for that coming up in Brussels on January 19th. That would be Monday. Russia, of course, will be on the agenda of the Council, the EU Council on Foreign Relations. But specific issue of the sanctions, whether they should be canceled, softened, renewed or not, will not be raised. The decision of sanctions should be taken in March, he said. Excuse me, folks. Still got a little touch of the flu. All right. Finishing up on this article, it says, according to another source, although no concrete decisions on sanctions are expected at the upcoming meeting, the tone of this issue should be softened. Ministers will most likely be preparing the ground for softening the sanctions. Perhaps the time has come, said the diplomat. The Wall Street Journal previously reported, with reference to a document prepared by the EU Foreign Policy Service that became available to Wall Street Journal reporters, that the European Union was ready to soften the anti-Russian sanctions and for partial normalization of relations with Russia if Moscow changes its stance on the situation in Ukraine. The newspaper said this document should be considered by the participants in the meeting of the EU foreign ministers in Brussels on January 19th. The document will be presented in the next few days to EU members, states, foreign ministers. All right, so that's something to look at in the news, folks, is the upcoming meeting in Brussels. That would be Monday the 19th. We'll see what comes of that. So on the one hand, we have, looks like Russia building up more military might with missiles and delivery systems, and then some countries willing to give in on the sanctions that the EU had put on Russia. So we'll have to see how that plays out, something to look at in the next week. Okay, the next clip I'm going to play is from the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. I found this fascinating. The title of the clip is Darth Soros, Modern Day Nazi Führer. In this clip, Alex Jones breaks down how George Soros is funding groups to try and bring about a violent revolution, allowing him to seize total control. So let's see how Alex Jones breaks down some of these actions, George Soros.
Now, continuing here, I want to tie three things together, then go to a report from Jakari Jackson on CNN and the federal government recommending that you take a can of beans with you when you go to college or public school to throw at a shooter. I'm not joking. And by the way, they know that's ridiculous. It's meant to mock you. They're all going to have paramilitary guards paid for by you and I. That's coming up. But when I saw this headline yesterday, I meant to cover it, I didn't get to it, but Shakari did a report last night for the Nightly News. It's just so over the top. But that's what all of this is about, is breaking our will. Just like when the feds came out a few years ago and told women to vomit or urinate on someone that's trying to rape you. That's the feminist thing to do. No, don't teach women how to use guns and have them carry guns, and then attacks on women basically disappear in areas where that happens. Carjackings in Florida and Texas that were epidemic ended for all intents and purposes, went down 99%, look it up, within 2 years of concealed carry going in. Do you think muggers like in Chicago and New York like areas of Texas? Do you think they go out to rural areas and mug good old boys in their trucks? No. Just like they don't stick their arms in Arizona down rattlesnake holes. A nation of sheep will be ruled by wolves. Actually, a nation of cowards will be gang raped by every criminal type you can imagine, and we are being gang raped financially, economically, physically. It's only going to get worse. Now, all of that said, I want to open the phones up specifically for police officers, and I won't make you hold a long time. I know a lot of you are on duty. You're out there working. Or even recently retired police officers, just to get your take on this, if you agree or disagree with me. Now listen to the 3 points I'm going to make. Because the same tactics used here are used in other countries. I'm going to tie three stories together. You have jihad training camps set up since the 1980s, allowing jihadis to train to go to Pakistan, Afghanistan, and other areas in the U.S., and they're on no-fly list because other agencies put them on that. They're allowed to fly in and out of the country. The underwear bomber, the latest attackers in Paris, the attacker at Fort Hood was known and was allowed to operate. All this has come out. Same story. The head of the 7/7 bombings. That's mainstream news. That's not me even saying that. This stuff comes out. It's a very simple equation. Let them build up. Let them create a threat. Let them attack with their useful idiot jihadis. Then basic Americans get our freedoms taken. Then the overarching militarization and federalization and globalization of police can expand. But that's not enough to take over the country. How did George Soros get $5 billion of State Department money in 2013, 2014, and then go on Fareed Zakaria's show? We have a transcript from the video posted on Infowars.com from May 27th of last year, about 7 months ago. He came out and he said, quote, "I am responsible for the operations and the overthrow of Ukraine." They went in and financed with $5 billion using real and perceived grievances and hyped grievances, basically anti-police riots all over the country. They then had their government take the government building, unelected, and then they put Joe Biden's son over the oil and other Democratic officials' children, literally, children, college graduates, but children, over the entire economy and began a war against Russia. I'm not defending Russia, saying they're perfect and lily white. The West started it. George Soros, a Nazi collaborator, demon, who's brought down countless countries, financing riots to devalue their currencies. He's on record doing that. He brags. He's brought down more than seven nations, looted their currencies. He brought down Ireland. He brought down England for a while. He's brought down a whole bunch of third world countries. Why would he finance, and I'm not saying that the Ukrainian government was perfect, but it was elected. They take legitimate things on the surface that sound like a reason to get upset, and then they use it to bring in even greater tyranny later. And now Ukraine, a year later, is in total shambles. So here he is. Soros admits responsibility for coup and mass murder in Ukraine. He told George Soros, Fareed Zakaria, over the weekend he's responsible for establishing a foundation in Ukraine that ultimately contributed to the overthrow of the country's elected leader and the installation of a junta handpicked by the State Department. And it has the quote right here.
First on Ukraine, one of the things that many people recognize about you was that you were, during the revolutions of 1989, funded a lot of dissent of activities, civil society groups in Eastern Europe. That's not what Zakaria sounds like. It's what Soros sounds like.
Europe and Poland and the Czech Republic. Are you doing similar things in Ukraine? Zakaria asked Soros.
Well, I will set up a foundation in Ukraine before Ukraine became independent of Russia, and the foundation has been functioning ever since and played an important part in the events now, Soros responded.
And he went on. Okay. Well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What does he found and fund? Media Matters. He tells the White House what to do. Media Matters is their mouthpiece. Who do they attack? Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Alex Jones, Matt Drudge, freedom of speech, gun ownership, state sovereignty. And they call in their memos that have been made public by even Bloomberg and Politico 4 years ago to infiltrate media and bring it down. I mean, they try to get people in your operations, folks. And I'm not going to go into all of it, but a lot of people have faced it. I mean, they don't play games, okay? They are a spy intelligence operation of George Soros. They're just one group. This guy overthrows countries. You understand that? He used the white supremacists to take over Ukraine. The deputy president they put in howls Hitler on TV. You can pull it up. Their symbol is blonde-haired women shooting electricity bolts like Emperor Palpatine out of their hands, and he's howling Hitler. You cannot make up stuff this weird. But he's liberal, so it's okay, because he said he was liberal and gives money to everybody, billions. He's a mob boss. And so you got George Soros running around doing all this. He's trying to overthrow that. Enter this story that I covered yesterday from the Washington Times. Now, again, we'd already covered this. And I say that to say we can confirm this. You can blow up in the videos or look at the names on the signs. He doesn't hide it. Kind of like he went on 60 Minutes and said, yeah, I was a Nazi collaborator, rounded up, you know, all these people. I'm not ashamed of it. I survived. I'm proud of myself, basically. He admits he's trying to undermine the U.S. sovereignty. He admits he wants your guns. He admits he overthrew Ukraine. He was the point man. He's tried it before. George Soros funds Ferguson protests, hopes to spur civil action. So he uses some of the heavy-handed tactics, the globalist training on the police, the rest of it, to then demonize police themselves to try to start a revolution in America pointed at the police that will drive the police into the Fed's arms as their saviors, break them, and get them to accept the paramilitary takeover, which is what he wants. He doesn't want a revolution like he wanted in Ukraine that actually overthrows the government. He wants to spur a destabilization to bring in a greater tyranny, to give Obama a smokescreen, to bring in martial law, if it would have worked, just like they tried to use Occupy Wall Street, he funded to do this. And folks, this is heavy information. I'm not giving you my opinion. This is a fact. $33 million. I'm the guy that made four films on the police state, wrote a book on it, predicted all that was coming because I read the Rand Corporation documents and others and had sources. But I wasn't against the police. I was against them being taken over and being turned into basically North Korean-style enforcers. Now to try to get them to do that, they want to have a war against the police to then force them into that position. Just like they start the war on terror against radical Muslims, next you learn, oh, it's really for the Tea Party. Same deal. This is the plan. And so here he is, $33 million of his billions he gives, just to spur this, and the Washington Times did an investigative report and links through that he was involved in the Zimmerman organization, the Soros Open Society Foundation. That's the one that overthrew Ukraine. Is operating in America. Hey, blacks, your unemployment doubled. How do we make sure Soros' puppet Obama doesn't get to blame? Cause a race war, a soft race war of names. Make it all about the white truck driver who's going bankrupt. He's the reason a black truck driver's going broke. Or a white teacher. She's the reason a black teacher across town has trouble in school. No. Or a cop. A cop, just randomly project all your anger, not at the Federal Reserve, not at the IRS, not at the New World Order, not at the Attorney General shipping guns into Mexico to blame gun owners and false flag the Second Amendment. Blame cops. And I told you he was behind it. This guy is a literal demon. And he's par for the course. He's just one of the more arrogant, outspoken people. I know somebody that's been in the coast home. I'll just leave it at that, of George Soros. And the entire place is black mirrors and black paint and black floors. Do you know why people have their house like that? Do you know what black mirrors are used for? That's as hardcore Satanism as you get. Black floors, black walls, black mirrors. Can you imagine where this guy's heart is? This is who wants your guns. This is who's taking over the public schools. This is who literally runs CNN, MSNBC, and the White House. If you got to say one person, he's the guy calling the shots. More than Brzezinski, more than Kissinger. He is the guy on the ground getting it done, the war general, the field marshal, the Erwin Rommel. He is in the field, folks. He is coming. And he's got his people just out there engaged in every dirty trick you can imagine. And you know what? I just expect that flying in over the enemy base. So I don't care. It's fine. I expect it. If I didn't have these people jacking with me and messing with me and pulling all sorts of stuff that I'm not even going to get into, then I wouldn't know that I was over the main target. I'm not complaining. I expect it. Whatever happens, happens. I'm going 110% in. I'm dropping my load on these people, and that's the end of it. We're going to fly in over the base. We're going to pull that lever, and we're going to make sure those bombs go in the info war. But he knows we're winning the info war. That's why he wants to finance false flags. And I'll say it. The Democratic Party, 3 years ago, their memos came out where they said, we want to blame Glenn Beck, Alex Jones, people like that for the next terror attack. You know, give the Democrats money. Don't worry if it looks like we're unpopular. We're going to be popular after the next terror attack. Well, folks, there's no even veiled denial there. They're telling you what they're up to, and just get ready for it. And so the police of this country need to understand something. If you want to know who's financing radical Islamicists in Egypt and Syria, it's George Soros, on record. You want to know who financed the Arab Spring? George Soros. You want to know who's destabilizing Europe? George Soros. You want to know who plans to get your pension funds in the end? It's George Soros. You want to know who's trying to finance groups and had little pasty white kids out there with signs saying, deck the halls with dead cops, fa-la-la, la-la-la. You want to play the clips? They are all not even communists or socialists. They're hardcore takeover revolutionaries who know they're on the winning team, they believe, and who go to these universities and who learn how to manipulate. Remember Gruber at all those university speeches teaching the professors how to lie and the graduate students? And everyone laughing and smiling, feeling included into the evil? We're not demonizing George Soros. He's all I've said and more. And I don't enjoy having to stand up against him, but my very being, my will not let me do anything but that. I just can't not fight this guy because he's an enemy of every person that wants peace and prosperity and freedom. And you've been warned out there, all of you. If you don't realize how serious this is and you think, oh, he's exaggerating. No, I'm not. I don't have words to tell you how serious these people are. We don't have a guest joining us for 30 minutes. We have the state rep getting a lot done in Utah. Very exciting. They're taking the land back from the feds. It's happened. The bill's passed. Now the fight's on. But we've won the first major stage. He's going to be joining us. Walter Jones just called and got his time zones wrong. He's going to be on Monday. So we're going to have a lot of open phones today on Friday, except for one guest. And I want to hear the first bank of calls. I'll go right to your calls at the start of the next segment. Sometimes I want police officers to call them. We can load the line. Sometimes none of you call. If you're off duty, on duty, whatever, you need to get in the habit of speaking out or you're going to lose everything, just like we are. We're all in this together. Are you going to let – I'm asking you point blank. You going to let George Soros spend $33 million to take unfortunate events and scapegoat every single one of you so you get shot in the head in your patrol cars or so your family gets killed? You going to put up with his crap while he has Media Matters claiming I'm violent and want cops dead? How many times have they made that up with no proof? Can't you see? I'm trying to stop a civil war, not because I'm a hero, but because I want to have a future and I want freedom for my family. That means you need freedom too. Rising tides raise all ships. A lowering tide will beach us all. And I'm sick of it. And I'm not laying down to these people. Where is our spirit? I want to hear from the police. And why not? Active duty military. Police, because active duty military are police now. You're going to be domestically involved in civil unrest if this all kicks off. He's not been successful so far. Thank God. A few more cases, though, of out-of-control cops choking somebody to death and the media hyping it. They want to start a civil war. I've been telling you for years. It's starting. They're now saying that in the media. 800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. That's 1-800-259-9231. I'm so upset I can't remember the number I've had for 18 years. 800-259-9231.
There is that report from Alex Jones that George Soros does not sound like a very nice man. I believe he did admit during World War II George Soros is Jewish, but he admitted to ratting out Jewish families and turning them over to the Nazis. I cannot believe things that some people do. And that he admitted it. Well, anyway, Alex Jones is trying to expose some of his things that he's been up to. So another thing to keep a watch on. Got to watch those things Soros funds. Okay. All right, now a little bit on the environment. I was driving back into downtown Houston yesterday evening. That would be Friday, about 7 p.m. I don't know. I mean, I've always liked astronomy, and I'm used to looking at things in the air. But I saw another extreme. I looked to see if this was reported. I did not see it reported anywhere, but I saw an extremely bright meteorite coming. I was headed like from the Woodlands driving toward Houston. It looked like it was coming from about the same direction. I looked off to the left. It was going about the same direction I was, maybe coming from the north going south. But it was another extremely bright one. I mean, I could see it even with I was approaching downtown Houston with all the skyscrapers, and it's been kind of overcast, but I mean, it was obvious. So this next report is from BP Earthwatch channel on January 17th. He has some other reports up about some new possible asteroids and some real close approaches to the Earth. Apparently, some of these asteroids are on a different plane. They're not on the same plane as the Earth, but they do intersect the Earth in their orbit. The first part of this, he discusses one of these new asteroids, but then in the second part of it, I know a lot of people have talked about a Planet X or another planet in the solar system, but he's looking into this, but he says it actually is reported in a credible scientific journal article from, I believe he says, from NASA. So it's an interesting little report kind of on disturbances and asteroids in the solar system and possible effects it could have on the Earth. So we'll listen to this report from the BP Earthwatch channel just posted. It's called New Planet in Our Solar System.
January 17th, 2015. Guys, I have three updates I want to talk about in this video. First, and this is the one that's on the news, the 2004 BL-86, and I've had some questions on the comments. But the headlines out of NASA, Asteroid 2004 BL-86 to make record near-Earth pass. Now, you can see just under this text box that the Earth and 2004 BL-86 are real close to each other. Now, that's not my concern. My concern is when it dove through the asteroid belt, which is, notice, it's as it came through the ecliptic and the line changed from light blue to dark blue, and I'll point this out in the JPL, it went past through the asteroid belt. This thing is big. It's a third of a mile wide. And the two asteroids we were talking about earlier today, one was 10 meters, one was 30 meters. Not, you know, one maybe as big as a house. We're talking about a third of a mile high, wide here. It says it's moving along at 35,000 miles an hour, fast enough to complete an orbit in 1.84 Earth years. It's about to set a record. Now, the record is not for close approach, because that's 3LD. The ones we were talking about this morning was 0.4LD, and between us and the moon, not three times further. The record is the size. It says it's in space terms, that's a very near miss. The closest approach of any asteroid its size to date, this is important, according to NASA, and close enough to see from Earth with amateur telescopes and powerful binoculars. Guys, that's a big rock, and that's close for a big rock. Again, it's not anywhere near like the small ones we saw coming in the last couple of days in the video before this. What's important is the size, and that it dove through the asteroid belt on the way in. And now we've got all these disrupted asteroids. Check this out. It dives through the asteroid belt right at the ecliptic. That's on the outside of Mars. Remember, that's the inner ring of the asteroid belt. Now, this one has a high angle. See that? It's not all the time in the asteroid belt. It kind of dives in and out. And it does it every 1.84 years. So, what are we dealing with here? The close approach to the Earth is January 26. Again, 3LD. Not close enough to affect us directly, but again, what did it do? And let's back this thing up. Today's January 17th. I'm going to come back and take a look at it, and we'll see at what date it dove through the asteroid belt. Again, that would be the inner ring. I'm going to bring it back, reverse this thing. You'll see that on July 6th. Now, it may have taken a couple days to get through this thing. I'm not saying that, but on July 6th is right when it crossed that ecliptic plane. And the asteroids are very close to that point. So there, during that first week in July, this large one, third of a mile wide, dove through the belt. Now, think about it diving through and you having a, just like breaking a rack of pool balls, guys. At the same time, 2015 AQ43, notice where it's at in the outer asteroid belt, timestamp July 6, 2014. So, again, you had this great scattering as this giant passed through. That's why you saw the video this morning again. You may see some more in the next few days. Now, the other update, mysterious planet X may really lurk undiscovered in what? Our solar system, not hundreds of light years away. This is space.com. They're getting this from NASA, the RAS, the Royal Astronomical Society. But it's saying a new study suggests that at least two more planets are circling the sun far beyond Pluto's orbit. The analysis is based on calculations of bodies located well past Neptune, regions of space that include the Kuiper Belt, the scattered disk, and the Oort cloud. Instead of randomly flying through space, 12, it says 12 here on the website, they've updated it to 13. 13 of these so-called extreme trans-Neptunian objects, or ETNOs, show some unexpected symmetry. This excess of objects with unexpected orbital parameters make us believe that some invisible forces are altering the distribution of the orbital elements of these ETNOs. This is from Carlos de la Fuente Marcos. Now, we consider that the most probable explanation is that other unknown planets exist beyond Neptune and Pluto. The study was based on calculations on the gravitational influences a large object would have on smaller distant bodies. If it is confirmed, our results may be truly revolutionary for astronomy. Now, again, RAS reporting on this. So what are we dealing with here? We know that they're seeing some disturbance. They're seeing 13 objects orbit something that's invisible. We know the Vatican has infrared telescopes, and so does some of the other world astronomers. Infrared means you can see it, the heat signature, you can't see it with a naked eye. So we will watch that. But what it brings to mind to me, guys, is that, and you've seen the other videos on the Final Solution, that Satan has his minions and his politicians, on earth with their plans. Well, he's got a plan, too. We need to watch the asteroids and see what else was knocked out of that belt, what type influences we'll see from an asteroid that big, again, banging through. It's a heads up on that, guys. I've got one more video that I feel it's important enough to try to get up tonight, because I've seen in the last week the darkness that's coming over this planet economically, militarily, and today spiritually. Witnessed it. Pure evil. I will talk about it in the next video, guys. Heads up.
So there's that report from BP Earthwatch Channel on a possible new planet in our solar system. I was surprised when poor Pluto got kicked out. I always remember in school stating Pluto is the ninth planet. I guess it has been demoted. Well, maybe there's some new ones. It's always nice to know we don't know everything about what's going on in the world around us, leaving some things to be discovered. Okay, next little report. Speaking of BP Earthwatch, he has another little report up. This one is called The Final Solution, World Stocks in Trouble. You know, there was a lot of talk about the Swiss franc and how it became decoupled, I guess, from some of the European Union money. And a lot of brokerage houses were put out of business. Gosh, I remember one time back in the, when was this? I would say back in the late 70s, early 80s, when there was like a sort of a stock market crash. I had a lot of stocks I had bought on margin. Man, I got this call from the broker, and he said, this is a margin call. You have got to bring the money that we lent you to buy the stocks on margin. You've got to bring it, and you've got to bring it today. Man, it sounded like the mafia. I went, have mercy. I said, all right. At that time, I was making pretty good money. I said, all right, I'll be right over and bring the money. He said, good, make it fast. I was going, whoa. So I learned my lesson on that one. That was the last time I bought any stocks on margin. It was kind of interesting in the times, but getting that margin call was not very interesting. All right, well, let's see what Mr. BP Earthwatch has to say. This is entitled The Final Solution, World Stocks in Trouble. Economic exhaustion is coming with war. This is from the BP Earthwatch channel on YouTube, posted on January 16th. Let's see what this one has to say.
January 16th, 2015. Guys, we've been watching this economic situation and the terrorist situation evolve in Europe. Now, we know, and everyone that's paid attention, there's been a lot of money printing without really substantial backup as far as gold or other commodities to back up a lot of money printing that's been going. It's kind of propped the markets up for a while. But things are happening very fast now. Just went through four videos called The Final Solution. And one of the things it talks about is economic collapse and economic exhaustion. It's very important to understand what's happening. Now, yesterday, the Swiss unlocked cap. In other words, they had locked their value of their dollar, the Swiss franc, at $1.20 per euro. It couldn't go past that because it really was a rigged game, because really there was more value in Switzerland in the Swiss franc than there was in Europe with all the chaos going on there with all of Angela Merkel's and the IMF's bailout. Called austerity. It's been a crushing blow to the economy of the people of Europe. Planned, again, first the last four videos have been about this economic exhaustion. Well, we're seeing it now. Anyway, when they did this, it surprised everyone. Even Christine Lagarde that runs the International Money Fund in Europe, One World Bank, basically, came on and said it surprised her. Now, that may have just been staged because we know that the Illuminati is running this thing. Now, if she was being honest, that's telling us something very telling about Satan. that's running this whole thing, and that is that he's lied to these world leaders and bankers and money managers, promised them things in order to get them to bring about this collapse. And of course, he's lied to them, and they're going to find that out in the end. But this is very important. You've got the weekend to think about this, and I would say pray about it. I've got two reports I want to go over. First, this one just came out, and it made me go ahead and decide to do the video. And it say the title of the article coming from CNBC, one of the sources is saying markets to European Central Bank, ECB, size of quantitative easing matters, or QE. Now, the Fed has been doing it here in the U.S., propping up and buying out bonds when it looks like the economy is going to collapse to really falsely prop up the system, printing a lot of money with no backup, things like that. But it was all a matter of timing. But here's what's happening now. With the Swiss, there's unexpected move, and that's what all the bankers are saying. Christine Lagarde, remember what a black swan is? An unexpected, unperceived, sudden catastrophe. That's exactly what happened. Now, when they did that, we have people on the New York Stock Exchange and around the world called Forex traders, and they trade in currency. It wiped two out today. They had to stop trading moments into the opening of the bell, as in pre-hour trading, guys, 80 to 90% losses. Millions of dollars lost by investors. But again, they had to halt trading. But what the only thing that's propping up the world markets now, especially Europe, is what the European Central Bank is going to do next week. Listen, about bailing out some more people there, some more banks, basically. When they say quantitative easing, they're easing some of the pressure, basically sometimes printing worthless money. Let me read this. It says, earnings and economic reports all take a back seat to the European Central Bank in the holiday shortened trading week ahead. Investors are looking to the ECB on Thursday to announce a program of government bond purchases or quantitative easing. The only thing that is important next week is the ECB meeting. This is one of the chief investment strategists at Wall Street. He says the ECB is going to be the biggest driver next week. What they decide to do as far as rates and their quantitative easing should have a big impact on global markets. The markets are expecting a very impressive quantitative easing. They're mentioned as it happened in the United States as in Japan. But the U.S. has backed off doing anything maybe till March. But guys, you know the Federal Reserve is right in the middle of this Illuminati regime that's controlled the world. They have all the money they need. The rest can collapse at this point. You've got the weekend to think about it. Says some investors may be playing both sides, and by that I mean playing for a big move. If they do not come down with a big quantitative easing package, global markets will fall apart. That's the report. This is Paul Nolte. He's a senior vice president, portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management. Says there's a huge amount of anticipation and a lot of volatility around the EC decision this coming Thursday. It will be a combination of what they say they're going to do and their intentions after that. Scott Wren, senior equity strategist at Wells Fargo Institute, said. He said, I think the ECB will act next week. Now, guys, we've seen this for the last few years. The markets start to get weak. Our Fed's step in and start buying these bonds out, bailing people out. We know this black swan effect is taking place now, both in the oil and now in currency. But there's, again, they're saying they need about $500 billion of quantitative easing. That's a temporary blow. If they do it, guys, that tells you what kind of stress is on the markets, and the people in Europe have been wiped out by the austerity program pushed by the IMF with Merkel. Now it looks like total chaos as far as any sense through our government policies now. They're about to bring this whole thing down. That's the point of the four videos before this. Now, the ECB president, Mario Draco, has gotten into the conversation slightly. He's kind of done that over the last few years, pull in, pull out. But he's saying, I think the ECB will act next week and make some type of announcement, but the market is likely to be disappointed by the magnitude that the ECB initially says they're going to do. Now, this is the president of the bank. He's giving you a hint. He's saying maybe half as much. He said they actually need $1 trillion, but we may give them $500 billion. We will see. These are the puppet strings that control everything. You're starting to see them move very fast. There's but a short time, and you know what I mean when I say that statement, guys. Let's look at what happened today on Wall Street. Now, the stocks went up and down, went up, down, finished a little higher, just kind of playing the game through there, waiting to see what happens. But they got hit hard in several sectors. Now, there's one of the companies on Wall Street that handles this currency trade, and there was a tremendous gap. Again, the euro lost 30% yesterday, guys. They rose slightly before the markets closed, 30%. It says retail foreign exchange broker FXCM Incorporated was fighting to stay above water on Friday as its stock tumbled nearly 90% in pre-market trading after client losses related to the sharp appreciation of the Swiss franc. Remember, they took the Swiss cap off. It rose. Everyone rushed to that. Euro lost. The Swiss National Bank moved on Thursday to scrap its three-year cap on the value of the Swiss franc again at 120. Said that U.S.-based FXCM said that due to the volatility in the euro-Swiss franc pair, clients experienced significant losses. The clients generated negative equity balance owed to FXCM of approximately $225 million. The broker's stock plummeted 89% to $1.41 in pre-market trading, with nearly 9.5 million shares changing hands. Guys, it was about $17 at its high point before this happened. Now, think about this. No one knew it was coming, the black swan. It said, absent of overnight capital, FXCM will not be able to conduct business, and they closed on the stock market. They closed on the Wall Street this morning, guys, before they had a chance to start trading. Gain Capital stock was down. Interactive Brokers fell 8.1%. These are the... Again, FX is foreign exchange, basically as far as. Now, another thing that mainstream is not covering, it's very important, goes right along with the Final Solution series, is there are Muslim riots all over the world today and tonight. And they're started because the Charlie Weekly in Paris that started the controversy and whatever happened there with the so-called terrorist attack. They went to printed about 5 million copies. And it's got a picture of Allah on the front, I guess, Mohammed or whatever, on the front of the paper. And it's got them all riled up again. There's rioting. People have been killed all over the world. There's rioting right now. Europe, Middle East, over this one newspaper. Again, that dividing point, remember? This is the plan. It's going down. Think about your money over the weekend. And it's not just if you have money in the bank or stocks. It's about if the banks go down, everything's going down. Will you buy your gas? Will you buy your groceries? There'll be a run on everything. This is the time, my friends. Heads up, be safe.
Okay, the latest update from BP Earthwatch on world stocks in trouble. I know today I went down to the credit union and attempted to make a deposit. They had been downsizing. They're usually open till 3 on Saturday. And I stopped watering out in the yard and ran down there. Got there about 15 minutes till 3, and there was an armed guard standing outside. And she said, "You can't go in. They're remodeling." And I went, "Well, what about my deposit?" And she said, "Well, you could try the drive-through, but I actually use it to make a deposit into a different credit union, and I knew the drive-through wouldn't take it." I said, "Well, thanks a lot for notifying us. You weren't going to be open the regular hours." So I did not get my money into the bank, and she also informed me I forgot the 19th is a holiday, the Martin Luther King holiday, and the banks will be closed. So I guess in case there's a big run, at least I will have cash because I was unable to put it into the banking institution. Oh, have mercy. All right. Well, our last clip we'll go out on tonight is an interesting one. It is a bit on a hopeful note. Maybe we can affect some of the things going on. And this clip, excuse me, was from an interview Alex Jones did on InfoWars on January 17th. He speaks with Utah State Representative Ken Ivory, president of American Lands Council, about the Utah Transfer of Public Lands Act, which requires the federal government to give federal lands back to the state of Utah. So that is really awesome, because I'm not so sure if I like the idea of the federal government having so much land out in the West, because you have heard of certain of our parks being supposedly given over to the United Nations. And what if there is some economic collapse? You know, like in Greece, they had to give up a lot of their islands. Well, I certainly don't want to give up American federal lands to foreign entities just because the Federal Reserve or some banking cartel collapses. So I think it's a good idea to try and get some of these lands back under state control. And this brave person, Ken Ivory, is doing something about it in Utah. I went to this website, and you can sign up to sign the petition and volunteer to help. It's called American, American, Lands, Lands, Council, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. That's www.AmericanLandsCouncil.org. You can sign up here to sign a petition, and you can also volunteer to help them out. It states that the federal government apparently owns and manages two-thirds of the land in Utah. It's hard to believe, and I think they may even have more of the land in Nevada, however you say that. All right, well, I think it's a very interesting interview, and it's a positive note. It shows that perhaps we can affect change. It's not all something that's out of our control. Someone in Utah is actually trying to make a difference. So we'll go out. This is a longer interview. It's about 30 minutes. It's entitled, Utah Rep Fights Federal Land Grab.
Waging war on corruption, crashing the lies and disinformation. We've got some really positive news that if it gets picked up in other states, could create the biggest boom this country has ever seen and could put the federal government itself, run by foreign interest, and the private Federal Reserve back in its proper role. We've got some other very positive news as well. We're going to be talking to the head of American Lands Council, AmericanLandsCouncil.org, Ken Ivory, who was instrumental in coming up with the bill and passing it to take back the land in Utah. This is huge. We're going to be talking to him in just a moment. Finishing up with police, I've been arrested for peacefully demonstrating in Austin and in New York. I've had a jail guard ram my head in the wall for no reason. I have had run into some really bad thug police in my days. We're against the system hiring these type of people and protecting them. The point is, George Soros wants to cause a civil war with police as the pretext, as the scapegoat, because they're the most visible group. And when you see mainstream media just demonizing police at every front, local police, and George Soros giving $33 million to hype it up, we just shouldn't have a civil war and go out and hate police and then have folks go out and randomly shoot cops in the head just because the media hypes it up and acts like they're the problem. The problem is we've become immoral, we've become lazy, we've forgotten that freedom isn't free, we've forgotten to promote the Bill of Rights and Constitution, we've let special interest and crony capitalists come in and take over and use socialist tactics to buy the public off and maneuver us towards bankruptcy. Well, this bankruptcy is a fraud. We don't owe the derivatives. We have the land, we have the energy, we have the ideas to be fabulously wealthy, and we will be. We don't need to pay 95% of our money like the French do or more in taxes. We don't want it. And it's getting up on our hind legs and saying no that'll turn this around. We're going to talk to Ken Ivory, who's a hero, folks, in just one moment. First off, we will end the special. I've been running it a few extra days because it's so popular. We're going to end it today. And that is 58% off on the Resolution Pack, the Oxy Power that flushes out the upper and lower intestine. The Oxy Powder is amazing, proprietary, and 70%+ of your body's immune system is the gut. It changed my life. Super Male Vitality or Super Female Vitality and the Methylcobalamin Vitamin B12, the most absorbable type. All three products together, your choice of the male or female vitality, great way to supercharge your New Year's resolutions. 48% off. We've never offered a deal this good. It will end now. So you can also call 888-253-3139. Ask any questions about that special. Order over the phone. A bunch of other specials. Lung Cleanse, Fluoride Shield, the special Nascent Iodine Deep Earth Source, just basically completely pure. Takes out the bad halogens, gives your body the good halogen in the thyroid and other glands. Amazing what it's done for my skin, my hair, my memory, my energy. Amazing. We've got scores of great products developed by Dr. Group and other researchers. DNA Force, you name it, InfoWarsLife.com. It's a subsection of InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. You've heard all the great word-of-mouth comments, the rave reviews. Check it out for yourself. These are true nutraceuticals. InfoWarsLife.com. Now, this story you're about to hear, I feel like we should have a drum roll or something, because the states are supposed to share power with the federal government 50-50. And that's the Federalist view. The Anti-Federalists wanted even more states' power. That's why senators were popularly elected only since 1917. Well, 1913 they passed it, but the first time it started happening was 1917 with the 17th Amendment. And if you expand out on that, we now have a federal imperial government itself run by foreign special interest. And the UN, UNESCO, others claim most of the federal lands in this country as collateral on the national debt. Look that up. Just like third world countries have to give their public lands over to the IMF and World Bank. That's why Rockefeller created the national parks. Now, national parks are great, but they're only a few percentage points of the overall federal lands where they're closing roads, harassing people on four-wheelers, kicking campers out, and saying, we don't want humans here, period. That's part of training you that land isn't yours so they can give it to the Chinese government like they've given hundreds of thousands of acres places like Nevada, that's 89% federal. Places like Utah are over 65% federal. Roughly half the country is under federal control, ladies and gentlemen. Now the feds are in states like Texas trying to claim all the land on both sides of the Colorado or the Red River. We're talking about trillions here over time. Bill Clinton used these rules to shut down the only clean-burning coal in this hemisphere, in Utah. Then overnight, it doubled the stock that he was invested in China, the only other clean-burning coal in the world, after they put the regulations in on us to use the coal. So that's what's going on here. That's what's unfolding. And that's why this is such a big deal. Utah transfer of public lands. From the encyclopedia, the state of Utah passed legislation in 2012, the Utah Transfer of Public Lands Act, to require the federal government to grant the majority of federal land to the state back to the state of Utah for 2014. Well, 2015's here. The state has pointed out that federal government controls more than 50% of the land west of Kansas. In Utah's case, 64.5%. I think it's more than that if you count some of the other stuff. A situation that has increasingly resulted in tensions across the Rocky Mountain West. They've got 89% of states like Nevada, and that's not enough. So joining us is Ken Ivory, Utah House Representatives and President of the American Lands Council. He's a District 47, was elected to the Utah House of Representatives in November of 2010. And he has developed and secured passage of legislation that these efforts include the Transfer of Public Lands Act and the passage of bills backed by the Utah Association of CPAs to begin reducing state dependence on federal funds they call Financial Ready Utah. He's the president of the American Lands Council. Ken dedicates his time to educating legislators and community leaders throughout the states about the jurisdictional rights and duties to manage, protect, and care for the lands within our borders. Now, again, I'm not going to go any further, but he's the author of Where's the Line? How States Protect the Constitution. This is the kind of guy we need in Congress, the type of person we need in the Senate, the type of person we need as the federal land commissioner, the type of person we need over the different federal bureaus, not a bunch of globalists with special interests that want to be robber barons. The robber barons funded in the last 100 years taking over of state governments so people out west didn't know the land was theirs. And they'll say, oh, they're going to build factories and make it all ugly. No, they're not. No, it's like 98% empty out there. The globalists are the ones coming in that take the land and turn it over to selective groups. They don't want us having access to it. This guy's a hero. He got it passed. Now it's starting to be implemented. And if they can do this and block the out-of-control feds, who aren't even feds, the federal argument's over because it's been taken over by UNESCO. It's under UN Treaty, Agenda 21, on record, that we can't develop this country. It's a fraud. It's an economic embargo, just like shutting off our power plants. And if he can get this deployed to other states, this could cause an economic boom the likes of which we've never seen. This is so exciting. They're even trying to stop ski resorts being put in out west now, saying it's bad for the earth. It's a load of bull. Humans tend to make the environment better when they actually live in the area. So joining us, I know I'm ranting, is this state rep. I know that's a big intro, but I wanted to fill the listeners in on why this is such a big deal. Here's the headline. Utah demands Fed surrender lands by December 31st. That's New American Magazine. That came and passed. So exciting, sir. Give us a presentation on what's happening.
Well, thanks, Alex. It is a big time. It's a wonderful time to be alive, as Ronald Reagan said. I was just down in Austin last week doing a training for new legislators in Texas. This is an issue that transcends the West, because beyond Colorado, states in the East are spending billions of dollars a year to pay the federal government to manage the forest in a way that burns 6 million acres a year, kills millions of animals, destroys that resource, pollutes the air, destroys the watershed for generations. You all east of Colorado and across the nation spending billions of dollars a year to lock up what the Government Accountability Office said is more recoverable oil in Utah, Colorado, Wyoming than the rest of the world combined. Now, another important thing, we were invited to come and give a presentation to the Reagan Library a couple months ago on national security. Our national security cannot operate. Our electronics technology, renewable energy technology, cannot operate without rare earth minerals. And right now, 95% of the rare earth minerals for those industries to function come from China. The price is going exponential, and we've got rare earth minerals locked up all over the western lands under federal control. Now, here's the critical thing, Alex. Here's how simple this is. You get right back to the fundamental principles, right? Governments exist to secure these rights: life, liberty, property, and self-government. That's why government exists. Well, without the right and control of property, we don't have liberty. And so here's the situation. You've got the federal government controls more than 50% of the land west of Kansas, but the statehood promises, called enabling acts, the statehood promises are the same. In many cases, they're word for word the same. In some cases, Montana and North Dakota, for example, it's the same document. And yet, on one hand, the federal government transfers the land, and on the other, they don't. Now, promises are the same. What most people don't realize is that at one point, Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, and of course, Alex, you know that great western state way over there of Florida? They were as much as 90% federally controlled for decades. And they were sending resolutions to Congress saying, hey, we can't educate our kids. We can't grow our economy. Our people are leaving our state because you're controlling all our land. They banded together. They compelled Congress to transfer their land, honor their statehood agreement, and we're simply doing the same thing today. We expect Congress to honor the very same statehood terms that they kept with all states east of Colorado because it is the only solution big enough to get to better access, better health, better productivity. And so what people can do, they go to that American Lands Council website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. Number one, you can sign the petition and get in the game. Log in at the website, get in the game. We're leading the nation in restoring the rights of property, liberty, and self-governance, which restores our balance, as you were talking about. The other thing you do is simply tell someone. Tell somebody else about this. Show them that map. Get them in the game. And critically, tell your leaders. Don't assume they know. Don't assume they understand. Tell them and tell them persistently. And as Thomas Hart Benton, he was the Democratic senator from Missouri who rallied all those Western states in the 1850s. You got to get your members of Congress to fix their eyes steadily upon the period of the speedy distinction of the federal title to all the lands within their boundaries. And they did it, Alex. Illinois is not 96% federally controlled. Missouri is not 90% federally controlled. Louisiana is not 90% federally controlled. And they have the exact same statehood terms that these Western states do today. So that's, in a nutshell, that's where we're at. Happy to go wherever you'd like and answering questions. This is a big subject. There's a lot of information on that website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. You can get to the Facebook page as well. We push information out every day. But this is the single solution big enough to restore balance in our nation and get us back to liberty, property, self-governance, where we have better access, better health, better productivity on our lands.
Absolutely. Ken Ivory, he is the president and head and founder of AmericanLandsCouncil.org. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason products cost so much, the reason that our economy is stalling is we're not being given access to the rare earth minerals, to coal, you name it. But China is. They're in Australia, they're in Africa, they're in Latin America, they're exploring. And American companies aren't doing it because the regulations and the feds are trying to get more land out west. I mean, take the Bundy Ranch situation. There were 34 families. Now there's one. We can't even produce beef in America because of regulations. More and more farmers are giving up because special interests from my research want prohibitive costs there that they're able to be exempt from so that they don't have any competition. And if we're able to free up, what are some of the numbers? I know they're on the Land Council website. I mean, am I exaggerating to say that if we start freeing up even 10, 20, 30% of Western land and some of the federal land in the East, that this would just make the 10% growth rates that we had until the 1920s look small?
Yeah, I'll give you an example. You can see this map right here over my shoulder. The Institute for Energy Research early last year said there's more than $150 trillion in mineral value locked up in the federally controlled lands. At the same time, under failed federal policies that tie the hands of these good workers on the ground that would like to care for the land, we're burning 6 million acres of forest, Alex, 6 million acres a year. That's polluting the air. It's destroying the watershed. It's killing millions of animals. Instead of sequestering that carbon into homes and viable products where that wood then stores that carbon for an indefinite period, but the federal policies that are supposedly environmental policies, destroying the air, destroying the water, destroying the animals, destroying the habitat for generations. No, we've got all the tools. We've got all the tools. We simply have to get back to the very simple constitutional remedy of liberty, right, and control of property and self-governance. Let me tell you a story, Alex, what's happening right now. Canada, our neighbor to the north, over the last decade, Canada has been transferring land, water, and resources to the provinces. And then just last year, they completed the transfer of land, water, and resources to the Northwest Territories. And here's what they said they discovered. They said, we discovered that when we let people closest to the matter, closest to the land, water, and resources make the decisions, we learned that you get a better decision.
That's not rocket science. That's not rocket science.
Yeah, that's not rocket science. And so in the land of liberty, we're going the other way. We've got a federal government that's centralizing control over more and more aspects of every aspect of our daily life. And so, Alex, what we really got to do is in the states, we've got to help our federal governing partner focus very specifically, focus on doing those things that only it can do and do exceptionally well, you know, like world peace and a sound monetary system. Focus on doing only those things that only it can do well and leave local zoning and planning and the tending of the garden to those people that know the soil, know the climate, know the culture, know the geography, know the geology, and are right there to deal with the circumstances whose lives and livelihoods depend upon that land, like Canada discovered.
Now, obviously, the media set things up where discrimination is only white against black or black against white or north against south. That's how they want us thinking. But is it the ultimate discrimination, the fact that special interest and socialist NDC and others don't want the West and the states to have the same freedoms as the East has? I mean, how can you have maybe 5-10% of the land in the East being federal and upwards of 90% in states like Nevada? How can Congress and how can the feds say no to the law you've passed? So maybe spend some time on that, please, sir, as the state rep that helped get this passed and authored. And then walk us through the procedure now, because we know there's going to be special interests that are going to try to stop this.
That's a great point, Alex. What I want to point out first is this is not a partisan effort. Republicans and Democrats sponsor voted for the bill. Republicans and Democrats on the committees and the commissions. In fact, in Nevada, bipartisan commission unanimously approved moving forward on the transition for the transfer of public lands. Critical effort, because educating our kids is not a partisan issue. Burning up our animals in our watershed is not a partisan issue. Having jobs and having a roof over our head and caring for our lands is not a partisan issue. So we've got some counties all over the West that have less than 5% taxable land. How do you take care of kids and roads and public safety when you've only got 5% taxable land? So in terms of moving forward, there are states all over the West now that are starting to take legislative action on this very same thing. You've got Arizona is taking action. Nevada's already taken action, working more. Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, Alaska's now getting in the game on this. South Carolina, Alex, did a resolution supporting the transfer of public lands. And so for your listeners that are in states east of Colorado, if you go to the resources and then what's happening in my state and you click on the eastern states, you've got a packet where you can get your legislators to run a resolution in eastern states to support this. Now, back to your point on discrimination. United States Supreme Court just a year and a half ago in a case called Shelby County versus Holder said the constitutional equality of the states is essential to the harmonious operation of the republic. They said our nation was and is a union of states, equal in dignity, power, and authority. Well, think about these football games we just saw this last weekend, right? Aaron Rodgers, I mean, what an incredible guy. I mean, I know you're probably a Dallas fan. Dallas got ripped off on that call at the end. Aaron Rodgers is running off of one leg, and he's still doing amazing things. But imagine if you're fielding a football team, and you've got to field a couple of guys that just are not 100%. In fact, they're 30, 20%. Well, if you're the opposing team, you're going to exploit that all day long. Well, that's what's happening in our government right now. You've got part of your team where the states and the federal government are supposed to have healthy tension. They're supposed to be opposing one another to provide that healthy tension that keeps our system in balance. Well, if you've got a whole bunch of your team that are at extreme disability, where they only control 10, 15, 20, 30% of their land, you're going to exploit that all day long, and that's what's happening in government. Give you a perfect example. A year ago, there's something called PILT. All of you in the East are paying money, your tax dollars, to subsidize the West. It's called payment in lieu of taxes. It's payment in lieu of the taxes we would otherwise collect if the federal government kept the original promise to transfer the lands. So payment in lieu of taxes. Federal government in 1976 said, hey, don't worry. This is going to be permanent, going to be mandatory. It's just as good as sovereignty. You can trust us. Well, over the last 6 years, you know, the federal government hasn't even had a budget. And so not only is the bill not permanent, mandatory, it's not even in the budget because they don't have it. A year ago, they didn't even put it in the continuing resolution. And these counties are now dependent upon this money that's only 13 cents on the dollar of the taxable value of their land in many cases. So they're dependent on this for public safety, education, roads, transportation.
It makes you creatures of the federal government, and it's almost like the federal government has conquered the West by never letting it be truly sovereign. And I'm a Texan. I love Texas. But Texas advertises to businesses, hey, come here. We've got more open land. We've got lower taxes. So it's basically like we're a NFL, Green Bay team playing a college team when we compete against the West. I mean, you don't want Utah to go under. It's a great, beautiful state, a lot of hard work and smart people. But it's almost the analogy of Texas versus California. Look at how California is falling apart because they can't compete with Texas. Now, that's because of their socialist policies. And I understand you're saying it's not partisan. And I understand there's a lot of Democrats that want to have free, open societies and prosperity. But it is the environmental, socialist, anti-human control freaks that don't think humans should be anywhere out west. And there's the feds denying more and more access to the public lands they control. Isn't that driving the anger out west at being treated like serfs?
Oh, indeed, right? Indeed. I mean, when you can't control your own land, your own water, your own resources, I'll give you an example. Okay, I got a county commissioner down in Sevier County, Commissioner Gordon Topham. A couple months ago, we're talking to him, and he says, look, my forest, a healthy forest, has 40 trees to an acre. Right now, my forest has 800 trees to an acre right now. There's so many trees, they're competing for the same resource. They're dying. They're dead all throughout the forest. This is the same all around the West. He says, I'm one spark away from losing my watershed in the second most arid state in the nation, and my community dies. And my federal partner is telling me that they're going to prevent me from protecting my community to have a viable source of water, protecting the air from being polluted, my animals from being burned up, my watershed from being destroyed. That's how serious this is. And again, that's not a partisan issue. Now, yes, there are these eco-obstructionist groups, but they'll go out and all day long they'll put out press releases and say the federal government's mismanaging the land, so we're going to sue them and extract taxpayer dollars if we win on a technicality. And they simply don't want that gravy train to end. But the states are stepping up, because this is purely a matter of the health, safety, welfare of our communities. And the United States Supreme Court, Alex, 2 years ago said that jurisdiction over health, safety, welfare is possessed by the states and not the federal government. They said the independent power of the states serves as a check on the arbitrary power of the federal government. And then they said this, Alex. They said states are separate and independent sovereigns. Sometimes they have to act like it.
That's right, and it's time to bring balance back to the situation. AmericanLandsCouncil.org. Ken Ivory, you are a hero. And I don't say that very often with a lot of our guests, but it's true. What you're doing is so important. And the fact you're traveling all over the country, that other legislatures are duplicating what you're doing. How long until we start to see the benefits of this if Congress doesn't try to block you guys?
Well, I appreciate the kind words, but I'm a dad. And that's why I got in this game. I've got four kids, and it's a simple math problem to see what's coming. And we've got to act. I mean, Erskine Bowles, Clinton White House Chief of Staff, will tell you. David Walker, Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office, will tell you. The American Institute of CPAs will tell you. We've got a very serious math problem.
We've got to grow fast, or we're going to go bankrupt. And I'm your host, Alex Jones. Ken Ivory, Utah House Representatives. He's in District 47, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. Every legislature, every city, every county, even though it's a state matter, should be just hammered with this information, hammered with his book. This is the real prosperity. America will mathematically collapse if we don't get some serious growth. Talk about the math problem, sir, in closing in the last 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, you look at the math problem. Almost every state, nearly 50%, somewhere between 30 and 50% of their state budgets come from the federal government that is unsustainable. Government Accountability Office every year says it's unsustainable. It's the single largest line item of revenue for the states. So how are we going to take care of sick people, poor people, roads, public safety, educate our kids if we don't get ahead of the curve and get back to economic self-reliance? There's a lot more we could talk about on that at another time. Big issue. We're working on something called Financial Ready Utah. It's our financial earthquake preparedness planning, some modeling tools that get there. But what's really critical, we've got folks in Congress now that are stepping up. They understand this is the only solution big enough. We've got folks preparing bills. We've got our own Jason Chaffetz heads the oversight committee. You're going to start seeing some oversight on that. Congressman Bishop, the Interior Committee, and we're going to start seeing some hearings on some of these things. But critically, rights we don't know are no better than rights we don't have. And rights we don't exercise are no better than rights we don't have.
They're dead.
And property. Property is essential. Liberty does not exist without the right and control of property. So get on the website, sign up, sign the petition, and then tell someone. I don't care how you do it, carrier pigeon, smoke signal. I know that if Benjamin Franklin were around today, he wouldn't be setting type one letter at a time. He'd be on Facebook and Twitter, and he'd be jamming this information out as fast as he could go. And then tell your leaders. Tell them persistently, fix their eyes steadily, as Thomas Hart Benton said, on the period of the speedy extinction of the federal title to all the lands within the states, which is what Illinois and Missouri and Arkansas and that great western state of Florida already did. Promises are the same, already been done before. It is the only solution big enough. We need to make this the number one issue in the 2016 campaign because it is the only solution big enough to get our nation back to better health, better access, better productivity.
Well, look at Australia. It's beating the global curve of recession because they've got rare earth minerals being extracted, and it's not even really hurting their environment in most areas. I mean, it's such a big country like us. I mean, we should be in there getting that. We should be getting clean-burning coal. Is there any way to reverse what Clinton did, blocking all that clean-burning coal in Utah?
Yeah, we're working on a lot of those things. In fact, we've got states working back together on this thing. The critical word on that, Alex, is jurisdiction, the governing right, power, and authority. Where does the jurisdiction lie for the health, safety, welfare of the people? Now, that's something we're working on in Utah. We're working on with states all over the nation. And critically also, this whole idea of federalism, this governing partnership, the critical word there is union. Federalism is a team sport. To be an independent check to the federal government, states have to start working together, both at the executive level, at the legislative level, at the attorney general level. It's happening in some instances, but we've got to get that more coordinated.
Absolutely. Yep. States have got to team up. That's what some of the corrupt elements of the feds are scared of. In the one-minute closing, you sound pretty confident, though, that the system knows we're going to go bankrupt if we don't do this. The question is, can we do it fast enough? Why are you so confident?
Like Ronald Reagan said, Alex, it's a wonderful time to be alive. We have no choice. We have no other option but to succeed and use the liberty, the property, the self-governance we have, and that's what's in our DNA. It's a wonderful time to be alive. We're lucky not to live in pale and timid times, he said. We've been blessed with the opportunity to stand for something.
Well, Ken, we're out of time, but I'm impressed with your work. I was already aware of it, but thank you for coming on. I want to have you back on soon to talk about your book, Where's the Line? How States Protect the Constitution. Godspeed. In the past decade, we have witnessed
So, as the gentleman just said, Representative Ken Ivory from Utah, we do live in exciting times. If you'd like to participate and support the idea requiring the federal government to give federal lands back to the state of Utah and to other states, again, I'll give that website out. It's American Lands Council, AMERICAN, American Lands, that's plural, LANDS. So you can go to www.AmericanLandsCouncil.org. All right, that's it for tonight, folks. Go out and have a very nice week. Keep abreast of the news and the latest happenings. Have a very nice week wherever you may be. And God willing, we'll see you 1 week from tonight on What's Got You Hot. Good night, everyone.